Well, the stage is set. The curtain rises. The last act of this drama begins. Perhaps a couple million people crowded into the narrow streets of the holy city of Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. Jesus was well known now. Miracles. Hundreds, perhaps thousands. The end of the Gospel of John states, there were many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written down by one, not even the world would contain all the books that it would be contained. Of course, an exaggeration, but John said there were many, many things that had happened. Garments were spread on the road. Branches from the palm trees were torn down and waved in front of Jesus. This was no accident. Jesus knew what he was doing. Thank you, choir, for that hosanna and the blessings. And I thought maybe some of you were surprised. And we finally let it loose a little bit. That was good. In advance, Jesus had arranged for a donkey. Two disciples brought it to him. It was no accident that this was his mode of transportation. Matthew reveals that Jesus set the stage for what we know as a Holy Week. And the prophecy came in Isaiah 62. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Well, from the first century to the 21st century, the theme is the same. Your king is coming. Let's take a look at this king. Your king is a different kind of king. We aren't too familiar with monarchies, are we, with all the pomp and circumstance that is being played right now? We are sort of numb when it comes to all kinds of leadership, the weakness of kings, the weakness of dictators, the weaknesses of presidents. But who is not stirred by the magnificent sounds of pomp and circumstance? Reminds us of a lot of very special ceremonies like graduations and kings and queens, and it's amazing what has happened. Just picture that in Jerusalem, what was going on at that time. We look at all these military leaders and the political falderal that they bring around themselves whenever they enter into a city in their 747s or on their great big steeds as they did in those days, the white stallions. But Jesus is a different kind of king, isn't he? He comes not to rule, but Jesus came to serve. Jesus rides a donkey. He knew what he was doing. The king chose his vehicle transportation, not a mighty steed with a chariot, but a lowly donkey, a symbol of meekness, of peace. The swish of palm branches were put in front of him, and not the 21-gun salute, and not the brandishing of swords. Jesus was different. He prepared for the cross. This kind of sign that he had when he was put on the cross, above his head it said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. His fellow monarchs did not come from around the world to witness his death. No, they didn't. He died alone, by himself. But Jesus knew exactly who he was. He was the Messiah spoken about in the Old Testament scriptures. Isaiah and Zechariah said it very clearly. He forced the issue. His whole style of life was shying away from political involvement. Whenever he was in front of the judges or Pilate, he wouldn't say anything. He could have taken over, but he didn't. He declared in so many terms that he is the King of Heaven. I am the King. There was only one problem. He picked the day not so much to gain adulation of the crowd, but to force the issue for why he was here on earth in front of as many people as he could. Not only did your king know precisely who he was, he now enters the Jerusalem of your life. The king comes into your life, and we remember this on this week. He comes with compassion for souls and bodies. Right after he entered into Jerusalem, he went on the hill of the Mount of Olive, the Mount Olivet. He looked over Jerusalem. What did he do? In the shortest verse in the Bible, it said, he wept. Have you ever watched the president shed tears? Well, years ago, there was a presidential candidate who cried on TV. And he pulled out of the race because he didn't think he was strong enough. His name was Edwin Muskie. Remember him? We don't want to see our rulers weak. We don't want to see them showing any weakness, but Jesus showed tenderness. He stopped and wept for Jerusalem. He said in Matthew 23, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." He healed the blind and the lame and the broken. Those freely approached him. How quickly he turned away from that and went to the crucifixion. He didn't keep them waiting. He is and he's there for the simple people. The people with broken bodies and shattered dreams. The people with bruised spirits. The people who's hurt in the soul where you can really be felt. People like you and like me who know him as Lord. And I look out over our congregation. As you know, I know everybody's name here. And I know your hurts, and I know your problems and your desperations. And he really yearns and mourns for those especially who do not know him. That's what Jesus really yearns and mourns for, those who do not know him. That is the kind of Lord he is. He wants those who are lost back to him. He wants to transform you through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit to come into your life, to lift you up, make you powerful, let your light shine. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah talks about the coming of Jesus some 800 years before his birth. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed it not. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we were healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was afflicted and oppressed, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is silent, yet he did not open his mouth. Isaiah, hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus, made that picture perfect of Jesus' last days on earth. But Jesus comes with us in the sound of judgment as well. He tells you what you need instead of what you want. He's a king who has compassion. But it's not compassion that's going to say, okay, everything is okay. That's not the way he is. He's not going to give away everything, denying his own righteousness. He tells you that the wages of sin is death. He tells you that someday you will stand before God the Father and be accountable to him. He warns of judgment. He warns of eternal hell, total alienation and separation. The king who enters Jerusalem on a donkey walks by the hillside of Olivet. He looks over the city, as I said before, and he weeps. He tells it as it is. He talks about wars and family breakdowns, economic catastrophes, earthquakes, rumors of wars, famine, and all the horrible desolation that you and I bring upon each other. That's the king the type of king he is. He doesn't hold any punches back. And why did all this happen? Because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. He tells you and me what we need to hear, not just what we want to hear. It's so easy to tell people what they want to hear, but the hard thing is to tell people what they need to hear. He talks more than positive thinking. He talks about thinking about your eternal life. He talks not so much about picking yourself up by your bootstraps or the economic salvation that you can get by believing, but he says you have to turn your life over to him and do the things that he wants you to do. He tells you you can't succeed ultimately on your own strength. We are sheep. You know, sheep are so dumb that sometimes if they get frightened by a wolf, they'll run over to a cliff and jump right over because they don't know any better. And sometimes we are like that, aren't we? We need the shepherd. We need the great shepherd, the good shepherd of our souls. Jesus warns us to face up to this, to come to him while you can. Your king is coming. Your king is coming into your life. Either you're with him or you're against him. There's no neutral ground. Today we sing hosannas. The word hosanna means save now. Do we mean this? Are we serious? Are we here because it's a nice thing to do? It's Palm Sunday. It's the week before Easter. Or are we here because we really mean business? Let me conclude by talking about two men, two stories. Bob had gone to church all of his life. He thinks himself as being a very religious man. Bob is in his mid-60s. He's lived a full life. But he hasn't let religion spoil his fun. In fact, although Bob is religious, Bob has no king. Bob has no king. The one problem is that Bob does have a king, but his king's name is Bob. That's himself. He goes through the forms of all religious practice. He wouldn't miss Sunday, all that good music, but by Good Friday, I don't know about Good Friday. It's so solemn. Well, right now, Bob is probably sitting through the last 5 minutes of some preacher's sermon somewhere, perhaps here. Bob's problem is that Bob has committed himself to himself instead of to Jesus Christ. He is a bootstrap person. He wants comforting talk from the pulpit. He wants no mention of sin from the pulpit. According to him, that went out of style in the Middle Ages. He had every reason not to believe. His life was loaded with doubts. He said, how in the world could God come to earth as a man? How could an intelligent person trust in the Bible? He said the Bible was written by unsophisticated people who didn't know anything about science, and Bob was a scientist. And there's also the man named Hal. He was a scientist, a cynic. There's a difference between Bob and Hal. Hal was looking for something. He was looking for the king to come into his life. It made a huge difference. Hal was willing to empirically examine the claims of Christ. He turned and he saw in Christ's eyes the Word at his best. Is your name Bob? Is your name Hal? Are you looking for Christ or are you just very complacent in your own skin? You know, your king is coming. Your king is coming now. He's riding to you. He's ready to look straight into your eyes and to say to you, am I your king? Are you ready for his glance? Will you shift your glance away? The Lord of Lords, the King and your Lord. And in reality, the bottom line of this is he your king? It's a matter of life or death. Eternally, life or death.